Blessings to each of you on this cold Christmas morning. Merry Christmas. I know some of you have traveled maybe to friends and family, and you're watching this broadcast from there. And some of you are relaxing in your homes. For some of you, the presents have all been opened, and maybe the house is a mess of wrapping paper. For others of you, that's still coming later in the day. I had the privilege several years ago to visit Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, in the West Bank of Palestine. And there's a beautiful tableau behind me of the Holy Family. You can see the wise men in the picture. You can see Mary and Joseph beautifully gazing at the baby Jesus. What a beautiful image as you look at that picture of what this day, Christmas Day, really indeed means. After all the wrapping paper and everything else, it's ultimately about the birth of Jesus. This next image that you will see is of the Church of the Nativity that's in Bethlehem. And this church was literally built over what is known as the birthplace of Jesus. You'll notice on the right side of this picture, a small doorway. Now let's go to the next picture. On this next picture, it is taken from inside the Church of the Nativity with someone coming through this doorway. And you'll notice that you're not able to stand up to get through this doorway and actually have to crouch down or even kneel down to get into this church. It is built that way to give us an image of the posture that any of us may come as we meet Jesus face to face. This next image is of the star. And that star is perceived to be the actual location of the birthplace of Jesus. It's down under the Church of the Nativity because it's believed that Jesus being born in what would literally be in kind of a cave type of dwelling right near the house in which Jesus and his family or the Holy Family would have come to and would have been in the cave type dwelling where the animals would have been kept warm and dry. The next picture is of the landscape of now modern-day Bethlehem. You can see how hilly and rocky the hillsides are. Certainly not the plush pasture land that we might think in our minds. And you can imagine when this wasn't covered with all of these stone-type houses, there was a small town. It would have been small little houses built of stone. Some of them actually dug out cave dwellings that would have been part of ancient Bethlehem. This next picture you can see of the entrance into what is now the shepherd fields. If you go under this archway going into the shepherd fields, you can just imagine this rocky hillside where the sheep would have been grazing and the shepherds would have been watching over them. It gives you an image of why the sheep would have been in danger, falling off of cliffs or being hurt in the rocky hillsides, and how needed the shepherds were. But just imagine that night. The heavens filled with the glory of the angels, bright, so bright they could hardly see. They would have been shading their faces. And the heavenly host singing the songs, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom God is pleased." The angels announcing, "To you this day is born in the city of David, the city of Bethlehem, Christ the Lord." What? How amazing that must have been. Coming to these shepherds who were been considered really the outcast of the community. Much to ponder, much to think about on this Christmas morning. No doubt by now you're smelling the Christmas dinner in the oven, or maybe you're still in the afterglow of the late Christmas brunch. Look around you and ponder for a moment the people that you love. The people that are in the room with you, family, friends, others. Think for a moment why you have gathered today. Is it around this Jesus? I hope so. Ponder for a moment all that God has done for you and the love that he has for you. If you're alone this Christmas, maybe think about how much Jesus loves you. And in the quiet of your Christmas day, you might think about the power of his presence that has never left your side. Today we bask in the afterglow of Jesus' birth, born into the world, a life out of the box, a life that no one could have ever imagined except the concept of the mind of God. A child born to live, to teach, and to die so that he might take away the sins of the world. But there's always a bit of a challenge following such a big event like Christmas. There can be kind of a big letdown. We come off the high of Christmas and go, well, what now? Jesus came in the world, the huge celebrations, all the other things we build around it, the trees and the presents, and now life back to normal? Sadly for many, that's the case, life back to normal. The tree and the decorations all are put away. And much of how we think about it has to do with whether we consider this day, Christmas, an event or the coming of Jesus to change how we see the world now and forever. Do we see it as a move of God? Around 40 days after Jesus was born, the Bible says that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to a temple in Jerusalem. It was custom under Jewish law to take the firstborn male child to the temple and to offer him up as a dedication before God, literally to be redeemed as holy before the Lord. And Mary and Joseph at that time would have given an offering, what had been called a redemption offering. So on this 40th day, they go to the temple, and there was a man at the temple called Simeon. In the Bible, it's recorded in Luke chapter 2. You're welcome to follow along in your Bible or look up in your phone app. In Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, it says this about Simeon. It says, he was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting the Messiah to come. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon and had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying this, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace." Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign of God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thought of many hearts will be revealed." And he says to Mary, "A sword will pierce your own very soul." Wow. The prophet Simeon has much to say as he's holding the Christ child. After all the Christmas rush and the shepherds have gone back to the field, visitors have settled down, and infant and mother and dad, Joseph and Mary, are going through the routines, Simeon comes on the scene and basically says, "This child, your child Jesus, will be a disruption." Now, I don't know about you, but no one really likes a disruption. We like to know what's coming. We like to know that our plans are set in place and we're going to follow through. And that's what Christmas is for many. It's a planned event. And disruptions can be just that, disruptions. We like to know what's coming. And we long for a little bit of life back to normal, right? But it's the normal that the angels disrupted in the shepherds' lives. It was the normal that the angels told Mary and Joseph that would bring a disruption into their own lives. And now it's Simeon who says Jesus is going to bring a disruption to the world. You see, Simeon had waited all his life for the Savior. Maybe you've waited for a Savior. Now he has come. And what now? In his case, for Simeon, he was ready to die. He had seen it all. For him, the coming of Jesus was the end game. This was enough. It was the pinnacle of his life. He was ready to die. But for us, we may not be ready to die. For us, it's just the beginning. This Jesus, as Simeon prophesies, will cause some to fall and some to rise. In essence, this Jesus, we could say, is drawing the line in the sand. That people will either live opposed to him and his way, or they will follow him in belief and rise to glory. Think about that. Because of Jesus, there can no longer be ignorance to the truth. Because Jesus came as the way and the truth and the life. Because of Jesus, he'll bring all of humanity, everyone on the face of the earth, comes to a point of decision to know and follow God and receive eternal life, or reject and oppose God and live apart from him forever. But Simeon goes on to share some good news. He says it to Mary, that a sword will pierce your very heart, Mary. What would he mean by that? Doesn't sound like good news. At this point, Simeon is prophesying the crucifixion of Jesus. You can imagine how Mary must have pondered that in her heart, because she's remembering the word of the angel that says, to you will be born God's Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. Ah. Now the formula's coming together. Now perhaps she's beginning to understand all that this Jesus will mean for the world and for you and for me. It's the gospel of Christmas. Because at the same time Jesus is coming and draws a line in the sand, he's also coming to die on a cross to forgive you and me of all of our sin and the sins of the world. You see, long before we can ever make a decision for Jesus, God made a decision for us. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus. 1 John accounts it like this in 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Think about that. Can we ever begin to love God as much as he loves us? I don't think so. But it does give us a start to begin to make a decision in this line in the sand. I want to go his way. So Christmas for Simeon was the pinnacle of life. For us, it's the heartbeat of our life. All the fanfare of Christmas Eve, all the presents, all the family, all the celebration. Now what? Is it just to clean up? Or is Christmas the afterglow? Or we could say maybe Christmas is the afterburner for the Christian life. Like the shepherds who came and saw Jesus in the manger. Man, their hearts were set on fire to go and tell everybody else. It was just the beginning. It wasn't something to clean up. It was something to live into. Paul says it like this. In Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 14. How can they call on him? How can the people call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. If this Jesus, and he is, as Simeon says, is the one who draws a line in the sand, and there'll be some who receive him and some who don't, the gospel is carried out through you and me. How beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news that Jesus came to live and to die, to forgive our sins. And the most incredible mission that any of us can have coming off of Christmas is to tell everybody about it. May the presence of Jesus have this kind of impact in the lives of those you share. There's an old song that I love around Christmas. It must have been the song of the shepherds. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. But not just that he's born. Christmas reminds us of that. but that he lives and he lives eternally. He has been raised from the dead off the crucifixion, and he lives in you and me so that the whole world may know of his glory. Merry Christmas, everyone. May this Christmas fill your heart with the depth of his love, and may the mission of your life be to share it with everyone you know.